And it's amazing to see. Grace upon grace came out in two songs. Hannah, grace. Well, the word Hannah means grace anyway. So we've got grace on grace. Grace on top of grace. And you know, God's grace is so important to us. It's His favor on our lives when we don't deserve it. We have no merit, no claim to God's grace, but it's God's perfect gift to us. And I think if you research and understand that fully, what God's grace is, you begin to appreciate the magnitude of God's love for each one of us. Undeniable. Undeniable. Amazing. I just want to go through a couple of things in the scriptures first. Psalm 127. Is that the first one, Matt? Children are an inheritance from the Lord. Just remember that every time they're a little bit out of sorts. It's hard to picture that sometimes when your kids aren't the angelic little wonderful children they're supposed to be. But they are an inheritance from the Lord. And I think we need to remember that. We really need to take that on board, that we are blessed to be able to have children in our lives. And whether they're ours or not, doesn't matter. I've got kids here that I had nothing to do with their existence. And they're probably glad of that. But there are kids here that call me Papa Ken. And I treasure those kids. I love children and I love the way that they bring life into a place. And going back some years ago, we had a great church that started here with families that were grown up and were teenagers. We had no babies in the place. Lek and I went to Mansfield and we visited a church up there. We're invited to speak. And we both said to each other, you know what this church has got that ours hasn't got? Young kids. Look at the life they generate. Look at the excitement that's there. So we came back and prayed. And we said, Lord, we need children. We need young families. We had a family of five join within a week. We had other families join. And now we've had families here that are just so blessing us because God has brought these kids in that are an inheritance from Him. Treasure them. I do. I really do. Children are born to a man when he is young are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Now, I don't know whether you think about this too much. This scripture is amazing, but when you're a young man and you have kids, I go back to when I first had children. My first son was born, Chad. And I remember the tenacity that it developed in my life and the fatherhood that it developed in me. You don't get a manual with the kids. They don't come with an instruction guide. Unfortunately, we have to learn by practice and experience. And we all go through that. But you know something? It brought out the protective side of me. It developed a character in me that wasn't there. It developed a tenacity in me that was not there until I had kids. And it brought a capacity into me that was so defensive and protective of my family. I love that scripture. It teaches us what God wants to be. But of course, we have a good father. Is a great example for each one of us. And the Bible says He's our shield, our protector, our strong tower, our foundation, our pillar we lean on. That's where kids need to find their own fathers and their own parents in this life. Amen? Gives us a great tenacity to develop our character and stand strong for our kids, developing God in them. Next one. Proverbs 22:6 is a great scripture, and I think a lot of people know this. Train up a child in the way he or she should go. When they get older, they will not depart from it. Find it so tragic when kids are brought up in the church, and then before long, they're no longer there. I stood on this scripture for my own kids. I really did. I got four kids that serve God, that love God. And God is part and parcel of their everyday life. And that's what we need to believe God for, amen? But the training process isn't just this is right and this is wrong. I remember years ago, my next door neighbour played for the North Melbourne Football Club. Their training existed of 2 hours after work on a Thursday night. He was a school teacher. And they went and trained for 2 hours Thursday night and they played on Saturday. And off they went, living their normal life. And you know, football in those days was not the game that it is today. You want to find out what training is now? It's a lifestyle. It's a dedication. It's a devotion. It's a demanding scenario. And in a child situation, in a family situation, training is a lifestyle. Training is something that we need to instill in our children, the things of God, in the ways they should go. Where are the boundaries? Where are the parameters? In this day and age, that's being challenged by society and by even the laws of the land. And it's tragic. But we serve a living God who we have to honor first and foremostly. And that training process teaches children far more than this world could ever teach them, to set them on a standard for a future. Yeah, they can educate them, they can give them things, they can take them into careers. But that's not the purpose of life. To train up a child in the way they should go is a principle of living that only God's standards apply to. When they're old, they will not depart from it. It's something that needs instilling from a young age. It's instilling. And I remember right young, there were questions my kids asked, especially when they watched TV. But it was always questioned on the basis of, Dad, why are they doing this when God doesn't want us to do that? And I had to answer them honestly and just say, unfortunately, people who don't know Jesus don't live by the same standards we live by. And so what we've got to do is just pray for them. We've got to just remember that God loves them just the same. And one day we hope they will come to know Jesus the way you do. And it was simple for them to understand that when they saw things going that weren't going on, that weren't godly things, they had a point of relativity that they could come back to. They just don't know Jesus yet. It wasn't a condemnatory thing. But they knew and understood that there was two ways of living, inside and outside of Christ. It was clear. We trained them. We taught them. And we didn't teach them once. Training is not just a fly-by-night exercise. It's daily. It's the whole environment in the family and in the home. Amen? I love this scripture in Isaiah 54, "And all your children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children." And I've meditated on this scripture all week. Your children won't be taught by the Lord or about the Lord. It says of the Lord. And you take this scripture from that perspective and you think about your own relationships, husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends. I remember when I first heard about Lexi. I knew her brother. She's not here, so I can tell tales. She's gone out. But I heard about this sister that he had and what she was doing. And she'd moved from Perth to Adelaide. And I knew about Lexi. And I knew she played a piano. And I just knew a few things about Lexi. But I didn't know of Lexi. There was no relativity there. There was no intimacy there. There was no closeness there. I knew nothing of her heart. I knew nothing of her intentions. I knew nothing of her passions and desires and the things she wanted out of life. I knew about her. A lot of people treat God like that. We need to teach our children of the Lord, His heart for us, His passion for us, His desire for us, His intent and purpose for us. The way He wants to get close to us and be intimate with us and let His life permeate our lives in such a way is teaching our children of the Lord. Tell you what, that develops a security that brings peace, that passes all understanding, that brings security and solidness into a child's life, that grace will be the peace. Great will be the peace of your children. Develops that in them. Amen. Bible says in righteousness you will be established. You'll be far from oppression. You will not fear, and from terror it will not come near you. A lot of people worry about those things. My kids, I don't think my kids worry about any of that. Why? Because they just trust God. God's my source, my strength, my sustenance. Great is the peace of your children. And this is an interesting one. Deuteronomy chapter 4, where God was speaking to the children of Israel. They'd just come out of an amazing situation of bondage and the Ten Commandments. If you've seen the movie, depicts everything they went through in a way. But he says, don't forget the things you saw. Keep them in your soul diligently. Guard yourself for a start. Make sure you remember. And don't forget all these things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And you know, it's up to us as parents to have a responsibility before God to get to know God in a way that we can impart the God we know, not the God we've heard about, not the God that's taught about or someone else knows about. This God is a God I know. You heard my daughter up there, passionate about God, expressing love and worship to a great and an awesome God that she's come to know. Why? Because it was taught to my children. And I'm telling you what, my grandkids are on my radar. And I'm teaching my grandkids. Why? Because it's my responsibility, not just theirs. The Bible tells me to teach it to your children's children. There's another scripture that follows on from this too. And it says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You'll talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way and when you lie down and when you rise, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God was a bit serious about how we took his word and how far we promoted it within our households. Does God get mentioned at the breakfast table, lunch table, dinner table? Does God get a mention in our homes? Are we promoting him and his word so that our children know there's a far greater purpose in life than just growing up, going to school, getting a job, getting married, dying? There's a purpose in life. It revolves around God. And I love the way that that's put there. I really, really do. And we need to have that heart and passion for God if we're going to train up a child in the way they should go. Can I get the family in question out here? Come on, give them a hand. Zeke, we're going to clap you, Zeke. Whoa! That's just for you. No, not really. It's for the whole family. Grace on top of grace. You going to come up with me? Do you want the microphone as well? Huh? No, you don't want the microphone. All right, cool. When I was first asked, would I hold a service for a dedication of their baby, Hannah? I was like, wow, that's an honor, that's a privilege. But what do you do about that? And I took it before the Lord, and I had to really seek God for what he wanted for this family. And you know something? Hannah couldn't give a rip if she was dedicated or not at this moment. All she wants to do is chew on her thumb or dress or, you know, feed time, sleep time, everything around about her. But there's a dedication in this process that is a gratitude to God for a life given to this family. And the dedication is probably not so much the child as it is the mum and dad. The dedication is not so much the baby being presented back to God as there were incidences in the scripture, but the heart of the parent recognizing this child was given by God and belongs to God, and we're going to raise that child up in the ways of God. And so the dedication today is far more focused on their commitment to raising up a child in the way the child should go. And as you can see, they don't always go the way you want them to. But the discipline and the lifestyle is what is important. In light of what the scripture says there, I'm going to ask the parents to come out. Gary and Kayleen. And Matt and Sam. And this may not be expected of them at this stage, but if you'll come and stand with us. Because the scripture said, what? Teach them to your children's children. And I'm sure you guys would be fully dedicated in being part and parcel and supporting Brendan and Chloe in the raising of their children. And today this commitment and this dedication has been taken from a dedication of a baby to a dedication of a family. And you know something? It doesn't just end there. Because families are a unit that work together. And they all have input. And you know something? When God said, you shall teach these things to your children's children, the only qualification you have to have is that you know God if you're part of that family. If you don't know God, you don't qualify. That's sad, isn't it? How can I be a part of this child's lifestyle, bringing up this child in the way it should go, if I don't know the God that this family know, because I want to work within the parameters and the principles and the standards of this family's dedication to this child? Wow, that's heavy. But let me just say this. If you're part of this family and you're committed to standing by and supporting them in the raising of the child and children, I want you out here as well. Come on, brothers, mums, aunts, uncles. Now, you don't have to come out, but if you want to just stand with them today, this is a family dedication service that focuses on the fact that a child's been brought into this world, an inheritance from our God, being presented back to God in gratitude and thankfulness for the life that they've been blessed with, to share with and to train and to bring up. And a family support network that will stand by them regardless. You're a blessed couple. There's another family here too. I'm not going to get them all out. I just want your own personal family here. But this family also has stood with Brendan and Chloe. We love them passionately and dearly, and they mean so much to us, and their children are a blessing to this church and to this church family. Their input, their direction, their love, we treasure so much, as well as their natural family does as well. Can you all just join hands across this platform, please? You want to come and pray with me? Come up and pray. Just follow on from me with whatever God leads you. We're going to pray. We're going to dedicate this child to the Lord. And today ask God's direction, blessing, with a name like Grace on top of Grace. Kiddo, you're sealed by God. And we stand together in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today for this beautiful life that you've brought into this world through Brendan and Chloe's union and love. Father, I thank you so much for Hannah Grace. We all thank you for her. And in the name of Jesus, as this presentation is made before you today, we dedicate the life of this child for your glory. We dedicate this child into your kingdom, Lord God. We ask, Lord, today she'll be sealed with the spirit of promise. We ask, Lord God, that that name Grace would be her portion all the days of her life. And that, Father God, you will guide and protect her steps in all that she is and all that she does and aspires to be. And I thank you, Lord God, for the family. I thank you, Lord God, for the training of this child that Brendan and Chloe are involved in. I thank you, Lord God, for their heart, their dedication, and their knowledge of you. And I pray for wisdom in their life, Lord God, to impart the principles of your kingdom, your life, and who you are, that these children, and this child especially on this day, will grow to know you, that they will be taught of the Lord and the peace of God. passes all understanding will be their peace. Father, I thank you for it and for this extended family that are joined together across this stage in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that they are part and parcel of this child's life and that together as a network of supporters, they will stand with Brennan and Chloe through thick and thin and that, Lord God, there will be an impartation from each one of them into the children's life and into Hannah's life that will also be teaching them the things of God. That they will stand by them in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that this child and these children, Zeke as well, will be such a great blessing to this family in return. That the joy that these children bring is part of their inheritance. And I thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What an honor, what a privilege. Family, you can be seated. Brendan and Chloe are just going to share briefly some of their experience. Oops. It's on. I think the mic on.
Ezekiel, come here. You stand with us? Come here. Do you want to say something? Well, yeah, thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. I mean, we're in church anyway, but it's great to have our family stand with us in this way as we bless our little daughter. And they do grow up very quickly, as you can see. Now, you got Lightning McQueen. Just after we had Hannah, Chloe experienced some health issues, and we're going to sing an item in a moment called Hills and Valleys, and we really did go through some hills and valleys, but the things with hills and valleys is you've got to go over hills and you've got to go through valleys, and that's not possible without God. It's impossible to do that on your own. There's so much struggle and pain to do that on your own, but when you're standing with a God that loves us, that cares for us and looks after us, no matter what's going on in our lives, God is above all that. So we leaned on God's strength through those times, and we thank you for the blessing that we have in our children. Yeah. Did you want to say anything? I don't think you're plugged in.
I've walked among the shadows, you wiped my tears away. I felt the pain of heartbreak, and and have some brighter days. I pray prayers to heaven from my lowest place, and I've held your blessings, Lord, you give and take away.
No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone.
I've watched my dreams get broken. In you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hand.
On the mountain I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all you will remain, over it all. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all you will remain, over it all.
Yes, amen. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Awesome. I see that was a song that meant so much to Chloe especially. I don't know if I'll stay up here or not, but I'm normally wandering around, but so I'll just sort of leave this where it is. Bless God. It's rather interesting that that song covers being in a valley and knowing and recognizing never alone, not alone at all. That's a pretty hard thing to do sometimes, because when you're in a valley, things tend to cloud your mind, your thinking, your vision. Everything tends to get you down. Everything seems to be crowding in on you. I'm talking to people that have been there. You know what I'm talking about? And things just don't go the way you think they should be going, or circumstances are all adverse. It tends to sort of block our thinking, and we tend to become a little more clouded in our thinking. I want to take you to a scripture I shared with Chloe just recently. And this scripture, I believe, has been one of the backbones of my life over many years. And I've stood on this scripture and I've lived it and I've regurgitated it and gone over it so many times because I want to know that God is my source and my strength, regardless of circumstances. And in Psalm 84, it starts like this. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Now, I've underlined two parts of that. Blessed, number one, and I want to take you through that. I think you need to look at it. It doesn't say there's a blessing, and it doesn't say they might be blessed. It just says blessed. And this word blessed there is a perpetual state of existence. Blessed. And regardless of a situation, there's a blessing that is permanent. And a person, it says here, back up please, keep going. Blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in the Lord. There's a qualification. My strength is in the Lord. That state of blessing does not change. I'm a blessed man. You're a blessed woman today, blessed man today. Do we have blessed people here today? Some people take blessing to be a circumstantial thing. Oh, I'm just so blessed to know you. Oh, I'm so blessed to have met this girl. So blessed to have met this guy. So blessed to have this job. Until things start to get a little bit challenging. And then they're not so blessed. It's a blessing to have been here. It's a blessing to have done that. It's a blessing to have had that opportunity. And it's all related to circumstances. And even today, there are so many people who use this frame that we are so blessed to have been part of this, or so blessed to have been part of that. And you even see it on television and in other things and in shows where people use that terminology. But it's all to do with the circumstance. They never turn around and say, I'm in a valley, I'm so blessed. They never turn around and say, oh, I've just been through hell and back, I'm so blessed. No, no, no. It's all to do with circumstances that are favorable to them. What happens if the circumstances aren't favorable? What happens when things are not going the way we would like them to go? When we're challenged by the situation we find ourselves in? When we're challenged by what life throws at us? The Bible tells me this, that blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in the Lord. That's a great scripture. And quite often, you know, sometimes we can be so self-sufficient, we think we can do it on our own. We think we are invincible. We think we are, you know, just, she's right, I can handle this. And we forget to depend on our God. That's when things start to go wrong. But regardless of what the circumstance is, if we depend on our God and if we're acknowledging Him and trusting Him and looking to Him for direction and for sustaining our lives, our strength is in Him and our state of blessing never changes. I'm a blessed man. Tomorrow might be a day where I'm challenged to the max. Won't alter my state of blessing. My strength is in the Lord. That's a situation many of us find difficult. Many people find that difficult. I find Christians that are like yo-yos. You know, you see them one day and it's, wow, God's so good. And the next day it looks like they've been sucking lemons. What went, oh. And you can't work out why the difference. And I've endeavored to take before God my life, and regardless of the circumstances, I've tried to remain consistent. Now, I know I get tired, and some people say to me sometimes, gee, you look tired. But they never say, gee, you look down, because I never look down. I never look depressed. Why? because I don't let depression, that's not part of my makeup. I'm a blessed man because my strength is in the Lord. Amen. It's a challenge, and I love this scripture. When I first heard someone preach on this message, pre-1974, that's all I remember, it was way back. And it changed my whole thinking demeanor, because I was under a church scenario where everything was good, bad, or whatever. The circumstances, everyone had an up and a down, and it was all over the place. There was no consistency. But God began to teach me what it was like to be consistent in Him. I praise Him for that. I'm a child of the King. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That does not change. So I'm a blessed man while my strength is in the Lord. But then it says, it's consistently, in spite of and regardless of circumstances, I'm unchanged in being blessed. But then it says, in whose heart are the ways of them who are passing through the valley of Baca? Or the valley of Baca was a valley of weeping, a valley of sorrow, a valley of depression maybe, a valley of other things. There are valleys in life that we cannot avoid at times, and we all go through them. In this particular instance, the valley of Baca led to the graveyard. And it was used here as an illustration where people would be burying their dead and there would be mourning and there would be turmoil. There'd be sorrow, there'd be weeping, there'd be crying. And I don't know if you've read some of the history of this particular era, but people who were mourned the most obviously carried the most honor. And so when they had a funeral, if there weren't enough people at the funeral to show the honor of the dead corpse, they would employ mourners and weepers to come along. Come and howl for me a little bit, will you? Because I want to make sure this guy gets the acknowledgement he deserves. Craziness. But they went through this valley of Baca. And they were going through the turmoil and the sorrow of death in this situation. Bible tells me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. For He's with me. And I don't care how deep or why this valley might be, the valley doesn't alter the circumstance in my life. I'm a blessed man because my strength is in the Lord. And quite often people don't understand that. They don't follow that. They're not able to grasp that. But if you can take hold of the scripture and says, I'm in Christ, I'm a blessed person in God. God is a blessing in my life and He's blessed me abundantly above all that I can ask or think. And I'm going through a valley. Well, so what? So what? I'm going through. Notice it says they go through. Passing through. And I find the tragedy in some people's lives is they forget to pass through their valleys. And they pitch a tent. And they camp in their valley. And they have a little pity party. Woe is me. You got no idea what I've been going through. You just don't understand. And counseling people is sometimes difficult to get them beyond their own pity party that they're having, and the fact that they've pitched a tent and camped in their circumstance and camped in their valley, and you try to teach them that that's not the place you should be. You're a better person than that. You need to lift up your eyes. Why did David say, I will lift up my eyes to the what? Hills, from where my help comes from. He looked beyond the circumstances of the valley. He looked beyond the situation that he was in. And he looked up and he says, there's a mountaintop up there and I'm going up there. I'm on my way. I'm pressing on. I'm pushing forward and I'm not letting this situation beat me. The problem that we don't know about is we don't know how wide or how deep the valley is. We don't know how dry it is. We don't know how barren it is. And we don't know what it's going to bring in our lives. And that's not the issue. The issue is what you are doing with the valley circumstance in your own life. Are you letting it dominate? Or are you taking control and saying, I'm a blessed man whose strength is in the Lord. And in my heart, I'm feeling down. Inside, I'm going through a valley. Inside, this circumstance is really draining me. But I'm not going to take it any further than the fact that I can look up to the hills where my help comes from. My strength is in the Lord. I don't know if any of you have ever been in parched valleys. Any of you been to Grand Canyon or been out to Kings Canyon up here in Australia and some of those places? On a stinking hot day, we were in Kings Canyon. And You think you're going to get some refuge from the heat? Forget it. Don't go there. If you think it's going to shelter you, it seems to gather in there. It seems to just magnify, intensify. And you get in there and you wonder what on earth you went in there for. Some valleys will just do that to you. Some valleys will try and suck the very life out of you. Some valleys will absolutely try and destroy you. Some valleys, if you don't know your way through them, and people have died trying to find their way through dark or long situations like that. But I'm talking on personal valleys now, not physical ones. And I know Brennan and Chloe had to fight a battle of going through a valley after Hannah was born. The circumstances may not have been favorable. The circumstances may not have been easy to contend with. The circumstances might have been adverse to them. But you know where they went? Lord, we need your help. My strength can only be in the Lord. And everything else that might have pointed negatively was opposed to what God says, which was positive. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Trust also in him and he will bring it to pass. We would love sometimes for our valleys to be shortened, but you know, the Bible never says, Lord, get me out of this valley. The Bible says, I will be with you in the valley. I will be with you. And that song was amazing because it spoke of the trust we can have in God, that if the circumstances aren't favorable, there's a God who's with us. There's a God who'll stand by us. There's a God who'll take our hand. There's a God who'll give us inspiration. And if we give him the chance to lead us and guide us, and we say, Lord, my strength is in you. And this is not what I'm enjoying, but my strength is in you. Physically, it's opposed to me. It's opposed to me in every other way, but Father God, you're for me. And if you're for me, who can be against me? That's the faith and trust we need to have in God. In whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley, and I love this next bit, make it a well. They make it a well. I don't know if you've ever read much of the Old Testament scriptures. There are places that are quite significant that some of the earlier patriarchs dug a well. Every time they went somewhere, they dug a well. They were in a new land or a new territory. They dug a well. They were out somewhere where they wanted to feed their flocks and there's no running water, there's no rivers. What did they do? They dug a well. And even when Jesus was on the earth, he's at a well. Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? I mean, they honored the guy that dug the well. It was there. But the well had been dug for a purpose. The well provided life in a parched situation. The well provided refreshing when things were totally adverse in the natural. And sometimes we don't remember that and we don't recall that. But let me say this to you and let me challenge you with this. If you've ever been in a valley, or if you're going through a valley, or an experience to you is not conducive to your normal demeanor and it's getting you down, dig a well. Find a way to make some life flow out of that situation. Get some refreshing out of the situation. Trust in God. Get into his word. Find scriptures that will support you in that scenario. God's given us a whole manual of being able to find him in any circumstance. Amen. And in that circumstance, if you can get into God's word, and it tells us that the word of God is referred to as water in so many situations and so many aspects of the scripture, dig a well. Dig a well. Dig into it. Dig into God's word. Find that time of refreshing. Find that encouragement. Find that place of blessing that encourages you, that sustains you, that supports you, that gives you the strength to continue on in that journey, that provides life for you in the situation. They make it a well. It doesn't turn into a well. They make it a well. I'm telling you, that's not easy. When you're in a situation that's pretty, you know, tired and difficult and awkward, and hard to deal with. Quite often, that's quite overwhelming. I don't know if you've ever been there. Am I talking to the right people? I think we've all been there. I think things get so tough that we almost capitulate and say, man, I can't handle this. This is just too much for me. And that's when you pitch a tent in the valley and the valley overcomes you instead of you overcoming the valley. Make it a well. Look for an opportunity to get a shovel out. Look for an opportunity to get positive about it. Are you a person whose strength is in the Lord, or are you just a person going through a valley? Because that will determine the outcome considerably. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord, but in whose heart are the ways of those who go through valleys of weeping, of turmoil, of distress, anxiety, whatever it might be. Blessed, the state of blessing should remain a state of you being a blessed man or woman, regardless of how you feel inside. How you feel inside's got nothing to do with it. The Bible tells us we walk by faith, not by feelings. And you know one thing I learned over my years of following my feelings? They lie. They lie. And they exacerbate the problem because my feelings want to major on the negative. That my feelings want to make me feel sorry for myself. My feelings want me to have my own little pity party and downer. And they want to drag me down even further. My feelings are not what I gauge my life by. I did once. What a disaster. What a mess. What a challenge. But then I found that my feelings had nothing to do with it. My feelings were only making me feel sorry for me. And then when I learned to govern my feelings and just say what David said in the scriptures, why are you cast down on my soul? Why have you gone quiet within me? You start to hope in God, for I'm going to praise him. He's the help of my countenance. You start to let your feelings govern you. Your countenance falls. You lose your joy. You lose your peace. You lose your ability to express who God is in your life. But David had to do that, and three times in the scriptures, he brought out that, and he said, the first one, it was interesting. He said, hope in God, I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why would God's countenance be fallen if I'm feeling down? Because God can't rejoice with me if I'm not rejoicing in him. And then the next two, he says, for the help of my countenance. I want to lift my head up. I want to lift up my eyes to the hills for where my help comes from, because my help is from the Lord. Amen? And remember that whenever you're down. Dig a well. Talk to yourself. I challenge myself regularly, daily almost, if not more than once a day. Why are you thinking this way? Why? You're a better person than that. Your strength is in the Lord. You've got God on your side. I don't know how many times I have to tell myself that, especially when I'm challenged with things at work or in other things. I've got to really tell myself where I'm at. And quite often I'll do what David does. Why are my feelings feeling that way? That's not what they're supposed to be like, and I'm not being governed by them. I've got a hope in God. He's the one who is my glory and the lifter of my head. He's the one who is my joy. He's the one who is my strength. He's the one who is my song. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He's the Lord of my life. He's the one I can trust to bring me out and bring me through. Be by my side and guide me. He's my leader. If we don't talk to ourselves like that, based on the things that God says about himself in the Word, do we know of God or do we know about God? I want to know of him. I want to know his heart. I want to know his passion for me. I want to know his input into my life. And you can draw on that from the well of his word. That's the greatest well of all. Get into it. Don't let the valley become parched and dry and suck you right down and suck the life out of you. Make it a well. Make it a well. When you begin to seek God like that, there's a rain that's promised. There's a rain that comes. There's a rain that doesn't just give you a little bit of a sprinkle like we've had a bit of lately. This rain is so strong, it fills up the pools and the dry valley's floor where there are any indents or impressions. It says the rain that comes will fill up the pools. It won't just be a little shower. Remember, we used to sing a hymn years ago, "There shall be showers of blessing." Anyone know that? You're too old. We're in that age group now. Dave knows that one. I start singing some of these old songs and people look at me funny. I like it when Hillsong and people get the old hymns and revamp them and bring out the old words to just a bit of a different tune. And I'm thinking, yes, they're not dead, they're still there. There are some great songs there that were inspired by the Holy Ghost as people wrote some amazing things about God. We need to draw on that as well. Singing is one of the greatest tools of digging a well, I can tell you. Begin to worship God. Begin to find a song of praise. Begin to give Him glory. Tell Him how much you love Him, how much He means to you, how great He is in your life. He's your strength and your strong tower. He's your pillar that you lean on. He's a foundation beneath your feet. He's your sustenance and your strength and your song. And I tell you what, that's part of the well. And that's part of ensuring that God's blessing begins to rain on your life. And when you make it a well, not only will you have a resource that the valley floor has surrendered to you, but you'll get God on your side bringing the heavenly glory of rain and blessing into your life as well. The rain also begins to come and fill the pools. Then the Bible says this. That's where your strength comes from. They go from what? Strength to strength to strength. And if you look at this in the original, it's perpetual. You don't just go from strength to strength and say, well, I've done it. No. God continuously strengthens us. God continually helps us. God continually provides for us. And you know, when you get to know this God that I'm talking about, the way that we need to know Him and the way He wants to be known, He's constantly wanting to pour His life into us to strengthen us, to strengthen us, to strengthen us. Going from strength to strength to strength. And then it says an amazing thing here. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. What do you know about Zion? Anyone know too much, anything about Zion? The stronghold in the center of Jerusalem. Am I right? It had a flowing stream of water that perpetually flowed from it. It was self-sustaining. It was life-giving. And you know, if the enemies came against the children of Israel and they locked themselves in Zion, they couldn't starve them out. They couldn't, because a lot of cities, when people got besieged in that city, they'd surrender because their water supply would run out. They couldn't sustain themselves any longer. There was no ongoing supply for them. You know, in Zion, there's an ongoing supply. You know, in Zion, it's perpetual. It lasts forever and eternity. You know, in Zion, it's a river of God that will never run dry. Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I shall give, it will be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. That well needs to be part of our life actively, constantly, daily, and forever and ever springing up within us. If we look at natural sources or circumstantial situations, yes, we can have a bit of joy and we can go to places and have a little bit of a spine-tickling sensation or something that pleases us. Oh, that was a great night. And then the next day, it's not such a great day. But when the well is springing up, doesn't matter if it was a great night or not. I got a well. I got a well. I got a well. And it doesn't matter if the next day is good, bad, or ugly. I got a well. You got a well. Because the Bible tells me that when I can get through valleys, when I can trust in God, when I can put my strength in Him, when I can sustain my life in Him, and He sustains me in return, that well never runs dry. That well never runs dry. So can you stand with me, and not stand literally, but I'm talking, can you stand on this word of God now that says, blessed is the man. I'm a blessed man. You know how I can read this scripture? I'm a blessed man whose strength is in the Lord. Yet in my heart there have been times when I felt like I'm going through valleys of death and weeping and sorrow, and yet I've never camped in that valley. I go through that valley, and I've made it a well, and I've made it a place of experience and refreshing that not only blesses me, but I can in turn pass on to others to ensure that if they're in that same situation, in that same well, I can minister to them because I've got a well. And not only will I be a help to them in getting through that valley, my experience, I can stand by them and I can introduce them to the God that got me through the valley. We can go from strength to strength together, trusting in God to constantly be our source, to be our supply, to be who He wants to be. He wants to be it. We're the ones that, you know, stop the flow. Learn what God wants to be for us. Amen? So are we blessed? Is our strength in the Lord, or where is it based other than that? And are you a blessed man or woman? Can we sing that valley song again? Shall we? I think it was an awesome song. Enjoy.
You're God of the hills and valleys, the hills.
God, thank you so much. We make a declaration this morning that we are blessed. We have to choose in faith to declare that, because it doesn't look like that sometimes. But according to your word, we're blessed.
Yes, thank you.
And God, I just pray that everybody, over whatever circumstance they're going through this morning, would make that declaration. I'm blessed.
Thank you.
I have a God in heaven who loves me, who sent his son to save me. I'm redeemed. I have the hope of eternity waiting. We are blessed. God, I pray over circumstances that I am sure may be challenging and terrifying sometimes. God, I pray that hope has been stirred this morning, to know that we're not alone. Wherever you are, you did not get there on your own. And as soon as you declare that God is with you, it's only a recognition that he was always there. God, I pray that they would get a sense that they're not alone this morning, that hope would be stirred in them. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that as we go through your word, we are encouraged, we are lifted up. God, I pray that as we leave this place, we would all leave encouraged by your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.